Michael Avery with Classic Business on Classic 1027.
Well, looking at the time, we're around about 24 hours away from finding out who the winners of the Conscious Companies Awards for 2018 are going to be. And it's all about recognizing the leaders that go beyond corporate culture, as the founder of Conscious Companies, Brenda Carley, wrote in the City Press over the weekend. And for all the noble talk about talent and values, I can honestly say that I haven't met many leaders who think as creatively or as rigorously about their company's culture and its role in society as they do about R&D and finance. But the shortlist for the awards this year does prove the exception. We've got Peter Smith, CEO of GlobalTrack on the line, and Richard Rain, MD of iLearn. Welcome, gents, and congrats on being shortlisted out of around 100 entries this year. Richard, kick us off. I was just chatting to the Department of Basic Education about its approach to the skills war that we're battling, and that's effectively informed your approach to iLearn. Just share some more about yourself and what iLearn is trying to solve.
Yeah, sure, and thank you for having me on the show. So iLearn is a corporate adult-focused learning provider with a specific focus on providing skills development and employment opportunities, where we target businesses and levels within the organization, typically senior or supervisory, right down to entry-level job seeker.
And you started the business way back in 2001 at the tender age of 21, so you seem to have entrepreneurship in your blood.
Yes, I was blessed to have grown up to watch my father, who was an entrepreneur in the auto glass industry, and my mother was a remedial teacher, so I think it was in the stars that I was destined to be in a business that was in education.
Now, Peter, you're driven, and no pun intended here, to help businesses better manage their fleets. So effectively, you help people understand how they are driven, in a sense. What's the story behind GlobalTrack? Because you operate in a highly competitive space here.
We do indeed. And the way we try to differentiate ourselves is to actually establish where can we really add value, and not only value for the owner, but also value for example, the driver. Because we believe if we can bring transport costs down by making the logistics chain and optimize it and make it simpler, cheaper, and easier to use, then everybody wins.
Now, I understand that by entering the awards, you obviously have an approach to conscious leadership that you factor into your business. How do you manage a business like this, which doesn't inherently seem to have a huge social impact, in a way that espouses the values of conscious leadership?
For us, the big challenge is how do we balance profits and margins, and by doing it in a conscious way. So in other words, can we really do that profitably but without breaking any rules? So, you know, for me, there's a very big difference between being profitable and being greedy. Greedy is, we have unfortunately seen it quite a bit of late in our country here, but to me, profits or capitalism is really around, if you work hard and you take risk, you will be rewarded for it. If you bribe or if you take shortcuts that you shouldn't take, it has nothing to do with capitalism. So we operate a lot in Africa, and over the years we had to make some very tough decisions on the people that we employ, the practices that they take in getting business and doing it in a very conscious way. So I think finding a way that I can sleep at night, and that I know my fellow global trackers can sleep at night, is really our challenge, but something that we're up to, and I think we're doing pretty well.
Richard, how does conscious leadership factor into your approach to managing iLearn?
So I have an unfair advantage in that the very nature of what we offer really has a significant impact on the people and therefore the economy by creating opportunities for people to grow and to progress in their careers within a business context. But having said that, we have a responsibility to ensure that the quality of education and the the impact, and therefore the impact that we have is lasting. And so that's, you know, that's for us our responsibility, and suppose what makes us tick every day and what gets us to the office every day. However, having said that, we're like any other business, and we have revenue and profit targets in order for us to be sustainable. And with that, we want to ensure that the team and the people that we employ are realizing and are actualizing their great potential. So we have two performance coaches that meet with every single staff member for 2 hours every month in a highly confidential coaching session, where we simply, the company mandates that we would like to align the values of the individual with that of the business, to ensuring that we get the best out of that person, so that they are realizing, more importantly, what you know, achieving more in their life.
Well, best of luck for tomorrow, chaps. That was Peter Smith, CEO of GlobalTrack, and Richard Rain, MD of iLearn. And we've now got Grant Patterson on the line with perhaps the second worst job in the country, behind Heather Sonnet Steinhoff, steering Edcon out of the Bain and global financial crisis induced debt hole that the iconic retailer unfortunately finds itself in, and hopefully onto a profitable future. Evening, Grant.
Good evening.
And well done for making the shortlist for this year's Conscious Companies Awards. I'm sure some people will be asking how Edcon could make the list, considering your difficulties and having to reduce headcount and size. But conscious leadership is about responding to what's in front of you and the cards that you've been dealt. How do you approach this task at Edcon, knowing that obviously thousands of people's livelihoods are at stake, that you have shareholders' interests to manage, tough negotiations with the landlords? It's one hell of a job.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it is a hell of a job. However, the way that I think we're trying to go about it is trying to separate in our minds that there's two worlds that we live in. One world is when we are dealing with shareholders and bankers and going through the processes of properly capitalizing the business and explaining to shareholders and bankers and who loan us money, you know, how the business is doing, why it's performing as it is, and what our plans are to change that performance. And then there's another world where we're running the company, and we've got to put on, you know, our responsible hats while we're running the company. We have to think long term. We have to still care about people, about customers, about environments, about communities in need. And I think that's the only real practical way of doing it, is to sort of separate those two topics.
And internally, that then allows you to at least manage the people in Edcon through this time of uncertainty and change, because as a management team, that must be incredibly difficult.
It is, and you know, so we make long-term plans, and we apply short-term disciplines. That's really like any other business. Even though the future is not that predictable, and we don't know exactly what we're going to look like in a few years' time, we've got to manage as if the group in its current structure and form is still going to be there. And that gives people confidence, it helps focus the minds, and then if that's not the case, we'll deal with it when we get there.
Now, Professor Mervyn King, who's the chair of the panel of judges this year, said that the caliber of entries so far has been of a very high quality, and the whole concept of a conscious company is really changing the mindset of how companies operate. How do you try and operate as a business leader very conscious of your role in South African society?
Well, if I'm completely honest, I haven't given much thought. You know, so perhaps it wasn't a conscious decision to be conscious. You know, I grew up in two very, very good companies, being Anglo American and Massmart, which then became part of Walmart, and certainly those companies have a very real sense of the important role they play in society. And so I've never really operated any other way. The business and the private sector is not independent of society. You're part of society. You've got to understand your role in society. And for that privilege, you can earn some returns for your shareholders and maybe some bonuses for employees. So therefore, it would be it would be arrogant to just focus on one particular shareholder.
No, and I think, you know, Warren Buffett acknowledges how lucky he was to be born a white male in the place and time that he was. And he doesn't shy away from attributing some of his success down to luck. Obviously, you've got to take those opportunities. You've got to apply some hard work and a responsible ethic. How do you view what you've achieved first at Massmart and now what you're hoping to do with Edcon?
Yeah, so certainly I agree with that. Firstly, a whole lot of privilege. I mean, you know, I grew up in a great family who certainly had money and assets and resources to give me, you know, the most privileged upbringing. And then, you know, that allowed me to have an opportunity to join great company, be well educated and join great companies, and give me probably most important of all, one gets through privilege, is confidence. You know, confidence in yourself and confidence to do things even when you don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so certainly, you know, I think it is very good to acknowledge that, and the response one must have to recognizing one's privilege is to give back as much as you can. And so I do that both in my personal life as well as in my work life, where I'm always looking to identify talent and help build that talent, give people opportunity, and give people space to expand and grow and make mistakes and hopefully pass it on.
Yeah, and to build that capacity internally. You were talking about transformation a lot in business, and the approach taken by our own CEO inside Classic is to build talent internally. And it's a long, hard road that, but it reaps the rewards at the end of the day. And you yourself were a beneficiary when you became Mark Lamberti's executive assistant. When was it? In the late 90s, you survived what must have been a quite grueling three-round interview process. And that role of mentorship must have played an important part in developing into the leader that you are today.
It most certainly did, and you know, again, perhaps companies don't do this stuff anymore, but I was a beneficiary of that type of process a long time ago. You know, I essentially spent the first 4 years of my career on management training programs with Anglo-American. Anglo-American used to invest huge amounts of time, money, and effort in growing leaders in business, and then you know, again, benefited from a similar type of program when I was at Massmart my first probably 2 or 3 years there, were essentially about my development. So, you know, I certainly the society and companies have invested a huge amount in me, and you know, and perhaps one can join the link to that as, you know, the call to come and help at Edcon is perhaps what some obligation I feel to try and give back a bit.
And then, Grant, I've got to ask you, we're going to be talking about mental health on the panel a little bit later on in the show, and it's really based on the very courageous decision by Yanni Mouton to come forward and reveal that, you know, he's having his own battles with mental wellness. We have a stigma around this. Executives do tend to burn the midnight oil. You've managed to be a leader who's very mindful of balancing work and life, and your family is very important to you. How do you approach this inside the organization?
Well, again, I think I've had great mentors and leaders to learn from. And again, all those companies I mentioned, a philosophy of those companies, you employ a person and his family and her or her family. You don't just employ an individual. And when you employ someone, they're human beings, and they come with all the things human being comes with, such as good times and bad times, and times where they're able to focus 120% on work, and sometimes when they have to focus 120% on something else going on in their life. So, you know, again, I've learned from leaders who and companies who have that culture and philosophy. And you know, every day, every time I'm speaking to someone, there's a part of my mind that's going testing in the background, you know, what's going on in their lives? How can I better understand what pressures and stresses they are under?
Well, Grant, it's been great sharing a small glimpse and insight into the way you've approached your leadership at the helm of corporate South Africa, steering a very successful retail and hopefully turning around one of the grand dams of the South African retail scene as well. All power to your elbow. We'll catch up tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.
That was Grant Patterson, the man tasked with turning Edcon around and a finalist in this year's Conscious Companies Awards, which will be announced tomorrow in Rosebank. I've got David Hurwitz, the CEO of Transaction Capital, on the line to talk about his results. But first, let's cross to Pusileto Peterson for the day's news wrap.